and welcome to the FA Cup third round review show. I'm Gav Mack and that is Stephen Buck. How are you, pal?
Oh, very well, mate. Mate, after a 5-0 win, I'm delighted. Although, look, I did actually come prepared. So I did come with two changes of clothes, look.
What, is that a marine shirt, just in case?
No. Oh. just in case it all went absolutely Pete Tong, I'm going to get out of my shirt before I get hammered.
Absolute prep. Well, thank you, anybody and everybody, for watching and tuning in. If you want to find out where you can find us, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at Two at Top Football on all social media platforms. And did you know, if you put Two at Top into Google, our name comes up first? Ooh, well, now you do. Well, it's the review show of the FA Cup third round. Now, there are a number of games that happened this week, but we have decided to pick a select few, covering the Premier League sides, and that's no disrespect to the lower league teams. It's just the fact that we are a Premier League and Bundesliga review show, so therefore to be talking about what Wickham did in a 4-1 win to Preston would be a bit counterproductive, but no offence to them and fair play to them because they haven't done very well this season in particular, so it was really important for those. But the scores are going on the bottom of the screen right now, and if you are listening to us via one of many podcast providers, then I'll run through the scores with you very quickly. So Wickham did win 4-1 at home to Preston. Brentford 2, Middlesbrough 1, Huddersfield 2, Plymouth 3, Barnsley 2, Tranmere 0, Bristol City 2, Portsmouth 1, Cheltenham 2, Mansfield 1. That was a scoreline after extra time. Boreham Wood 0, Millwall 2. Luton 1, Reading 0, Norwich 2, Coventry 0, Nottingham Forest 1, Cardiff 0, Blackburn 0, Doncaster 1, Exeter 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2, Bournemouth 4, Oldham 1, and Stevenage 0, Swansea 2. But we are going to be talking about the games that have involved Premier League sides, and we've just done a watch along, and anyone who is still watching along with us, then thank you very much for still tuning in, and anyone who's new to the show, welcome to the show. And what we have just seen is Marine of the 74th tier in football 0 Tottenham Hotspur 5. Now how did you see this game?
Honestly speaking, I didn't think we'd get 5 goals. It's not very Mourinho-like to have 5 goals and a clean sheet. First 20 minutes was pretty cagey. I think we've said it in the watch-along, you know, Joe Hart absolutely got away with one. A wicked shot from Marine, pretty much hit the crossbar absolutely square.
And yeah, Kengby
way off his line, put his hand up and then went, nah, that's going miles over. Took his hand down. It wasn't anywhere near as comfortable going over the bar as it looked like. He got way away with one big time.
Massively. A hat-trick from Vinicius Jr. That will help his confidence. I know that two of them were literally on the line and he's tapped them home. But his third goal was pretty nice. And then Lucas Moura with a free kick, curling away from the goalkeeper, the young goalkeeper who's only 20 years old. And then Devine came off the bench and scored, I think it's his debut as well.
Not sure whether it is his debut. I think he might have had a couple of minutes, but certainly he looked all right. He did all right when coming on the pitch, got his goal, took it well. I think the Marine goalkeeper, despite the fact that he conceded 5 goals, he wasn't at fault for any of them. I think he actually played quite well, and I think Marine can go away with their heads held reasonably, you know, reasonably high. They did their job. It just got completely outclassed, really, in probably that the last kind of 20 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, definitely. This is a tournament that Tottenham need to go out and try and win, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, you could get away with playing some more sort of like kids and fringe players against a team like Marine, but regardless of who you get in the next round, even if it is Crawley Town, I think you need to be thinking about putting a full-strength team out. A bit of form in the league will get you top 4. You're in the League Cup final. You need to be looking at a cup double, as far as I'm concerned. A cup double and a top 4. That is minimum requirement for me if I was a Tottenham fan.
I don't know. I think a double's probably pushing about it, but certainly they need to compete. They need top 4. They need to compete in both cups. They need to challenge in both of them. And then I think they need to come away with at least one of them. It's been a long time since Spurs have won anything. They haven't won. I mean, when was the last time we won the League Cup? I think it was
2008.
So yeah. It's a long, long time. FA Cup hasn't been won since 1991. You know, we've won it eight times, but three of those was under Bill Nicholson in the 60s. So
yeah.
This is a team that hasn't consistently won enough. And actually, if you really want to be a top side and you've got this mentality that you want to instill of being winners to take you to that next level, you've got to start winning trophies. If that's the League Cup, then you win the League Cup and you get, or at least push to get into the final of the FA Cup as well. You need to get that mentality changed.
Definitely. Who you'll be meeting in the final of the League Cup is Manchester City, and they were comfortable winners early on today, 3-0 at home to Birmingham City. The goals came from Bernardo Silva, he scored a brace, and Phil Foden, he got on the score sheet as well. And he's having a wonderful time, Phil Foden, this season. He's getting a lot more game time over the last few over the last season or so. What I really appreciated by Man City is that they take every cup competition seriously, and they will put a full strength team out, or as close to full strength across the board. I mean, like, we know that they've got squad depth and things like that, but they didn't think, right, we're going to put a load of kids out today and hope for the best. They just went for it, didn't they?
Oh, definitely. But they've improved in their form. Man City at the start of the season, they looked a bit shaky. They didn't quite look like they were gelling or joining things together. Some of the transitions were not very good. Man City in the last few weeks are back. They are back to being Man City that we all recognise for the last few years. And certainly they look like a Pep Guardiola side. I'm expecting them to really push and go a long way in the competition.
Yeah, and what makes me laugh about Man City quite a bit as well is that, you know, people still say, oh yeah, you know, they're amongst the favourites of the league, but no one's really talking about them as passionately as they were before. And it's like, man, if they win their game in hand, they're only a couple of points off Man United. You know, it's like,
they've got the squad. They have the squad. You know, Liverpool have deserved to at least win one league in the last, you know, two, three seasons.
Yes.
They came so close. It's, you know, it's agonizing. But really, Man City are still the same side that we've seen. They've been consistent. They're always there or thereabouts. You cannot rule them out right now. And anyone that says Man City don't have a chance of winning the league and it's won't drunk. Be up there in the top two, mate, they're gone. They've lost the red.
Yeah. I think the only thing that Man City are really missing out on is a striker. I just think that Aguero, I love Aguero, is arguably for me, he's the second best foreign import in the Premier League behind Thierry Henry. And he, to some people, is on the par, and some people even say that he's better than. I wouldn't go as far as that, but he is absolute boss, honestly. But he's 32, injuries creep up on him, and they keep him out for a lot longer now than they ever have done before. Jesus is not good enough to lead the line for a club of Manchester City's stature. He would be like Iheanacho if he was to leave. People will actually find out his true colours and realise that he is average at best.
Aguero, I think, has only got another 6 months on his contract, hasn't he?
He has.
In the summer. I don't think they'll renew his contract. His service to the club has been fantastic. And his goals to game record speaks for itself. It's still one of the best out there. But, you know, you're right. His injuries always have sort of taken time out of his seasons. And they're taking more and more and more time out of these seasons now. I think this is probably going to be the last season that we see from Sergio Aguero.
Will City be as defensive as they were against Chelsea and Man United? Well, I think it's actually a benefit seeing City do this. We're not used to seeing this City team. And then people would turn around and say, oh, you're being boring and anti-football. This isn't anti-football. This is playing to win. And you know, they've been keeping a lot more clean sheets because they're not slapping teams like 4-5, 6-0 anymore. They're winning games 1-0, 2-0. People are just thinking, oh, it's not right. But they're still creating chances. And they're still in and around it. And this is where it comes to that striker situation. And I really like the comment that you put straight after as well about Harry Kane. I think 80 million might be a little bit too cheap. But I can...
He would buy his left foot, let alone the right one as well.
Well, we are talking about COVID money as well now. We are talking about COVID money right now as well. So I don't... I think 100 million... or slightly over would probably do it right now.
I think knowing Daniel Levy and knowing what it would cost to replace Harry Kane, I think you're looking at least £150 million. There's no way that club would let Harry go for less than £150 million. No way.
Okay. Man City, they did draw a couple of weeks ago against West Brom. And West Brom had another draw, but it wasn't a beneficial draw this time, was it? No, it wasn't. No. Blackpool 2, West Brom 2, and Blackpool ended up winning the game 3-2 on aggregate. When a new manager comes in, there's normally a bit of a bounce, and it hasn't happened for Big Sam this time.
I think he's got his work massively cut out for him at West Brom. This could be the first club that takes away his unblemished record of being able to save teams. I mean, to be fair to West Brom, they had a few changes to the side. And I think one of the goals came from what looked like a miscommunication between Ivanovic and the right back. Ivanovic was playing centre half. He clears the ball. He's probably three quarters of the way up the defensive line. He starts to drop back slowly, but his right back's dropped back far quicker than what he has.
Yeah.
Ivanovic was almost the last person to come back into that central defensive line.
Yeah, that was for the...
And that lead for the goal.
That was for the Yates opener. And Ajayi, he did equalise, but then Gary Medine, I can't believe he's still playing. He's been around since the dawn of time. And he thought, to be fair, he probably thought it was the match winner. Which put them 2-1 up, because Blackpool, that goal was just, it was way too adult to be knocking around in League One. Like, that goal was, if that was Barcelona who scored that goal, we'd all be talking about it for ages, going, oh wow, did you see that goal, this, that and the other. The move was beautiful. It was finished superbly. And you're right, West Brom, yes, they did have changes from that game, but they are still West Brom, and whether they're playing very well or not, they are still a Premier League side. And whether they stay in the Premier League or not is a different story. At the moment, they are a Premier League club, and they need to be stepping up, and they need to be using games like this as a confidence booster at least. Put your strong team out. Put your strong team out. Do something about it. Try and make something happen. And they didn't.
No, they capitulated. And to be fair, I think it was Blackpool deserved the win. They deserved to go through.
I think they deserve to win it in normal time.
Yep.
Oh, really?
They got their justice. Justice was served. Blackpool went through. Well done.
Yes, indeed. Talk about Premier League levels and, the fact that West Brom might go down. One team that pretty much looks set to go down but did pick up a victory was Sheffield United. And I'm really happy for them. I do feel a little bit sorry for Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers 2, Sheffield United 3. The game changed a couple of times as the match went on. But I am so, like, oh, I spelled Burke's name wrong. Let me edit that. Ollie Burke.
Burke. Oh,
there we go.
Like, where did you spell my name? I don't remember seeing my name anywhere.
Oh, no, Burke, not Burke. Ollie Burke, he changed the game when he came on. I thought he was brilliant anyway. But
he brought a lot of energy, and he brought some pace to that front line. He could have had three goals. He was in the first 20 minutes of being on the pitch, he could have had a hat-trick.
Mm.
But and, he's definitely different.
Yeah, his link-up play was just brilliant, especially I think it's for the Bogle goal where he did that little dummy to get Bogle in. Thought that was really nice. But Bristol Rovers, they made a decent account of themselves as well. I thought they looked pretty tidy. I don't think they'll be overly disappointed with the result in particular. I think Sheffield United, they needed this more than anyone else.
They just need to start feeling what it's like to win games again, don't they? Doesn't matter whether or not it's league, cups or anything. They need to feel that winning factor. They've really not played well so far this year. I mean, when you think of, you know, at one stage last year, they were sort of occupying the European slots in terms of the Premier League, and they've just not handled second season well at all.
I mean, like, if Bristol Rovers play that way, I think they'll be fine, because if you were to look at the League One table, they look like they're in a bit of a precarious position. That League One table is tighter than a nut's arse, because they are currently in 18th place. Out of the 24 teams in there, they've played 18 games, got 22 points. If they win all their games in hand, they will be able to bounce straight up to 9th from 18th. And if they do go into 9th, they are only 2 points shy off a playoff place. That is how tight things are in League One. But if they continue in that vein of form, if they play that way, I can't see any reason why they won't be able to make a decent push of things and move forwards. They play some nice football. It's nice to see the teams that are in League One and things like that have the confidence to play such a free flowing style of football. It's really nice on the eye. Who else is in League One? Are they in League One? Yes, they're in League One, so let's stick with there. I'm trying to just like segue into things, if you notice. So it was League One versus Premier League opposition, and it was again this time it was really unlucky. This was Burnley 1, MK Dons 1. Burnley ended up winning the game 4-3 on penalties, but it wasn't all plain sailing, and I do feel a little bit sorry for MK Dons, because Cameron Jerome scored the opener from a header, which was, you know, that was on the half hour mark, and it was a good game actually. It was quite end to end. It was really entertaining for a neutral to watch this.
He's been around a bit, Cameron Jerome, hasn't he?
Oh God, yeah, he's been around for a very long time.
He's got to be about 95 as well now.
Yeah, I mean, like, he still looks that like he's quite young, but he's definitely aged somewhat over the years. But Vidra, literally last kick of the game. Now, it ended up getting the manager sent off, because I think that they were expecting the whistle to go a little bit earlier, and he wasn't overly happy about that with Russell Martin. So he got himself sent off. Richard Keogh, he almost got a red card as well. Did you see any of this?
Although VAR rescinded it, didn't he?
They did, and he's lucky, because if this game was, yeah, I agree. Right, if this game was at MK Dons, there wouldn't be any VAR on this game, and he'd be walking. So the fact that he has been able to get away with it.
Well, no, I don't like saying he does get away with it, because actually he wasn't in the wrong. You could see his arms get tangled up, and actually it wasn't worthy of a red card. I think it was the correct decision. But yeah, had it been at the Dons Stadium where they don't have VAR stuff installed, he'd have been off and there wouldn't have been anything coming back from it.
Do you think a free kick should have been awarded?
For a foul on him.
For a foul on him, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on the fence with that.
Really?
Yeah, because I just think that when two players are allowed to come together and there is allowed to be a bit of contact, I don't think he did anything overly illegally to make that happen.
To me, it kind of looked like he tried to move his arm into that position to get him sent off. And that's why I sort of went, okay, no, I'd pull that back. I'd see that as an infringement or as a foul.
Yeah, I was just thinking, if that doesn't touch his arm, you know, he has got a decent run in on goal, innit? So that's why I'm just like, you know, it's a difficult one. It's not an easy one. I don't think it is.
It's nice at least that VAR has actually come to the rescue, and we're sort of saying, well done, VAR. Thanks for being there on that particular day, rather than hounding it for some of the crazy sort of offside no goals being allowed because my left toe is slightly bigger than the other guy's ankle joint.
I've moaned about that, but at the end of the day, you know, you can't
It's hard for the laws of the game needed.
Justin, Richard Keogh used to play for Derby County, and Derby County were missing their whole first team, including Wayne Rooney and their whole coaching team because of COVID. Our good old pal, which has been getting involved all season with life, and it was a shock result for Derby County that took all the kids up to Chorley, and Chorley ended up winning the game 2-0, which is great to see a non-league team in the fourth round hat. I really do like that. But
they had a lot of chances as well. It wasn't like they just sneaked it over the line. They were great chances.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there was a situation in the game though where it looked like a penalty was going to get awarded for Derby.
Yeah. And then it got called up and it was put down as a foul against the Derby attacker.
Yeah.
Because they reckon that the ball would ricochet off his boot and off his boot, hit his hand as he was falling down.
What do you think of it? Do you think it was a pen?
When I first looked at it, I thought it was a pen.
I still think it's a pen. I still think it's a pen.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't know whether they're trying to say, "Oh, the keeper got a touch of the ball first." I don't think he did. I think he slipped it just past him, sort of thing. And like when the keeper has got a touch of the ball, it's because it's bounced off the striker,
yeah, off of him and onto his hand.
Yeah,
then same player is up the other end of the pitch, and he gets booked for handballing it on the line.
Yeah, exactly. So for Hall's header, the ball had already crossed the line when I can't remember his name. I'll have to fish his name out. But as he's headed it,
Cresswell, I think it was.
The ball's already gone past the line. So if it hadn't, then straight up that would have been a penalty and a red card. So he could count himself a little bit lucky. It was Isaac Hutchinson. It was the skipper, wasn't it? So it was Cresswell, Cameron Cresswell. It was Isaac Hutchinson who went down for the penalty shout. And it was Cameron Cresswell who got the yellow card.
Oh.
Was it the same guy? Oh, okay. I thought he was wearing number 10. And I've got it down here as number 11. So I saw he was wearing number 10. Irrelevant. He got a yellow card for his actions and deservedly so. And he should count himself lucky that he was already behind the line, because if not, the team would have been potentially a goal down from a penalty and a man down. And that could have made the afternoon a very long one. But it didn't work out that way. However, Chorley are through to the fourth round. In fact, technically, they're in the fifth round draw as well, because tomorrow they're drawing the fourth and the fifth round. So we will see Chorley from at Preston Way.
They've been past the third round before, have they? I think it's the first time ever. No. So there's like first time in the fourth round, first time in the fifth round, even though they might not get the fifth round. But
they actually won more games this season on their run than they have done collectively throughout their FA Cup history.
Wow.
Which is mad. Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
Where are we going? So another team that was completely depleted by COVID was Aston Villa. It was Aston Villa 1, Liverpool 4. At half time, it was 1-1. Who would have imagined that? Because Sadio Mane scored after 4 minutes. It's like, well, it's going to be 74-0, isn't it? But it wasn't. It was a very, very resolute and brave performance from the Villa kids.
It was. And do you know what? If you had some of them, I think they handled themselves really, really, really well. The Lewis Barry goal in particular, his movement off the ball to get in and the calmness that he showed in front of goal, absolutely superb for a kid. I mean, I thought 4-1 was a really harsh scoreline, really. I don't think it really reflects the amount of passion, the work rate, and all the effort that went into what was essentially just a, you know, it was the under 18s and under 23s again.
There was average a age of 18 first years
team
old.
In it. Yeah. There was no first teamers. Like anyone that actually hasn't seen this game and thinks, oh, you know, there's a few kids from the youth system that's come in to support the first team. No, there wasn't a single first teamer on the pitch. I think every single player essentially was making their first team debut, and they were all 18, 19, 17 years of age.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
So for the fact that they did what they did is brilliant. And it took Liverpool a long time to put the game to bed. You know, they were on top for most of the game. We know this, but it took three goals in 5 minutes in the second half for it to happen. But I just love the fact that Louis Barry's goal, the way that he's sort of peeled off Reece Williams and then just opened his body on the edge of the box and slotted it past Kelleher. He looked like he was about 25, 26 and had been nobbing in goals for fun throughout his whole 17 career. 17
years of age.
I know. And yeah, just his face when he game scored. From his mind. But like, you know, things like that, we sort of build the you know, the magic of the cup a little bit. And those boys, they lost the game, but they couldn't give two hoots.
No.
They are all on cloud nine. It's like, man, we did this. And it was 0-0. It was 1-1 at half time against Liverpool, you know, Premier League champions, recent European champions. We did that. You know what I mean? It's a lot of pride for them to have. And they should be so happy about their achievements and what they've done.
I think they'll go on. I mean, Lewis Barry, from what we've seen of him, I think he'll go on and he'll take another step forward and hopefully come eventually back through Villa's youth ranks and into their first team. If he carries on developing and doing some of the runs and the hard yards that he's done that we've seen in this game, he'll continue that. But what a great advert for the FA Cup again. You know, we talk about the non-league sides. We talk about the guys that, you know, from the lower divisions that are knocking out the Premier League sides. But again, a bunch of kids from the under-18s putting in a great performance against the Premier League champions.
A very strong Liverpool team as well.
Yeah, it was not Liverpool's kids. This was a very, very, very strong. Mane, Salah, Wijnaldum. Yeah, they were there. Mm. They were playing top players.
Yeah.
Well done definitely. To all of them. It's brilliant.
Right. It's time to laugh at someone, isn't it? And we've got to laugh at Leeds, haven't we? Crawley 3, Leeds 0. Now, I'm sure that all over the press, they'll be saying, oh, well, you know, but Bielsa plays wonderful football, lovely brand of football, yada, yada, yada.
It was lovely to watch. Blah,
blah. Oh, this was brilliant to watch. This is arguably, this is the shock of the round. And this is arguably one of the most embarrassing third round results, because
couldn't that be a nicer Town. Bloke, could it?
Oh my god, we're like Crawley Town. Crawley Town, you know, they've got Mark Wright on their leagues, on their books now, aren't they? From Towie.
From old school days. However, for me, it just couldn't happen to a nicer guy, you know. You come into the league and he's off spying on teams and whatnot, and great.
Well, Crawley Town, they're knocking around in League Two. You know, they're doing all right in the league, to be fair. They're sixth in the league at the moment. They're only 5 points off the top. So they'll be looking to get themselves into League One, League One. Yeah, I've got the old foreign football.
Is that part of the Brexit agreement, is it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're trying to get themselves in there. I mean, like, it's not really far from Gatwick, is it, Crawley? So
EasyJet will do them a cheap flight at the minute anyway. They'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Bielsa, Leeds United are safe as far as I'm concerned. They are going to be safe this season. They will not be going down. So teams like Leeds, teams like others that I'll be speaking about in a bit, they should be really putting their heart and soul into going on a run and winning the FA Cup, or at least getting into the latter stages, because you never know what's going to happen on a one-off game. And all the games in the FA Cup this season are one-off games. They're all decided on the day. There's no replays anymore.
No, it's extra time and penalties. Game settled.
Exactly. So, what are Leeds playing at?
No, I'm speechless, because, as I said, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And I keep going back to that, because they should be going out and doing more than this. I mean, look, do I think Leeds have the ability to win the FA Cup? No. Should Leeds be through to the next round, given who they were playing against, the quality in their squad, where they currently ply their trade? Yes. So this is an upset. This was a mistake from Leeds' part, and they need to sort it out.
Yeah, definitely. Nick Cirulla, he scored the opening goal, and he's had a roller coaster of a career so far. He's only a youngster, and he has just he was in a car crash only a couple of years ago. He thought his whole career was going to be over, and the fact that he was able to come on and score the opening goal for Crawley Town. I don't know if you guys at home who's watching the show in particular come round and saw his post-match interview, but he started welling up because he knows how much he'd gone through. And I was like, wow, this is madness. And he was on the books at Spurs, wasn't he, Bert?
I don't even know, was he?
Yeah. He was released from Tottenham in 2018.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he'll be hoping to have Spurs in the next round and try and put something to them as well. So, I'm really happy for them. And as you said on the screen there, you know, Leeds have got a lot of championship defenders making championship mistakes. They didn't field their first 11 today, but then that's what's winding me up in terms of the level of respect for the FA Cup, and especially a team that are safe as far as I'm concerned.
And that's they still will no excuse. Have a minimum.
Yeah, they will
pick championship defenders. It's still no excuse. That's still Crawley Town. Sorry, they should have done better.
Yeah, must try harder. # Who else should be putting more effort into the FA Cup? More effort into the FA Cup. Let's go with probably not Fulham because that's a bit savage. Let's go with Palace because Palace should be. Palace should be putting more effort into the FA Cup. They're an established Premier League team now. They've been in the Premier League for the longest time than they ever have done in their history. They lost 1-0 to Wolves. I mean, don't get me wrong. What a slap from
great goal, Damatriori. Superb goal.
He's cut inside from the right-hand side. He's took it out of his feet. He's used his wrong peg, left foot, and just laced it into the roof of the net. From about 18, 19 yards out.
I think one of the goals of the round. I think
one of.
Yeah, one of. You can throw it in there along with the goal.
The goal in the Huddersfield. Yeah, the Huddersfield goal. Oh, yeah, that was strong. And there's another goal, which we'll talk about in a moment. But yeah, Wolves. This is a specific result for Wolves.
Wasn't it Neto that was through in the second half as well? Probably should have scored then. I'm sure he was through with a chance 1-1 with the goalkeeper. He tried to shoot and go for the far corner and sort of slid it.
Work. Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I think this is big for Wolves, and I think they should be looking at going forwards. However, Palace, I'm disappointed in Crystal Palace. They got to the FA Cup semi-final, got to the FA Cup final, sorry, in 2016. And Wolves, you know, 2019, they got to a semi-final. But those two forays that deep into the competition should be giving them the drive to push forwards. And I don't think...
Yeah, I don't think Palace has got that, though. Palace are... They're very...
Mediocrity.
Average. Yeah, very average.
Well, go win a cup.
I don't think they've got the drive to, because they seem to want to just stick with that average. The fear of, well, if we go for a cup and we pick up a couple of injuries, actually we're going to end up dropping down the league. I think there's too much of that going on with Palace. I don't think they're going to be a side that's really going to go for a cup. Wolves, I'm surprised. You know, they can do it. They should be able to do it. They've got the squad for it. They've got some superb players. I mean, they've still got one of their best players that's still out injured at the minute. So,
yeah,
you know, they're going to get stronger as the season progresses. And I'm sure they'll recruit in January too.
Where am I going next? Oh, so yeah, when we talk about goals of the round, then this for me is the goal of the round. Now, Arsenal last week scored a beautiful goal against West Brom with Kieran Tierney running down the left-hand side, cutting in, putting his right peg through it. It's, you know, it's like mid range, you know, just the whole move was lovely. And James Justin was like, oh, my bit. This is how you do it. And oh my God, this is the tie of the, this is the goal of the round in the Stoke 0 Leicester 4 game. James Justin on just after the half hour mark is hit this so sweetly. If you haven't seen it, please go and find it in about 20 minutes when the show's finished. Yeah, he's just cut inside. He's running down the left-hand side. He's cut inside. On the plus side to him, he is right-footed anyway. But the way he just cut in and he's on the apex of the box and he's put his right peg around it and it's gone right in the top bin. What a finish. What a goal. Yeah. Goal of the round, hands down. Michael
Jamie
Brighton
Vardy
also bagged.
I'd love to have had that goal.
Oh, anyone would have loved to have that goal.
What a strike.
Jose Perez also scored and Harvey Barnes as well. Leicester, now they are going to have aspirations of top four. They're also in the latter stages of the Europa League. Should they? I still think, however, this is another one. They should be going out and trying to win this tournament.
I think they're good enough that they can certainly go and try to. You know, two seasons ago, they probably didn't have quite the quality and the depth of the squad that if once they start players starting to get tired or they pick up a couple of knocks, you know, they were starting to struggle. But actually, they've got the depth now. Yuri Tielemans is starting to really come into his own and he's adding a bit more kind of physicality to his game as well. So he's great. Jamie Vardy never seems to get any older. I mean, he's obviously getting older, but he's
no, but he's like evergreen, isn't he? It reminds me of Frank Gore in NFL. Like, apparently he's going to be going on and playing another season as a running back. And I'm just like, dude, like, I swear you were playing NFL, like, or equivalents of NFL back in World War One. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's been around for forever and it just doesn't seem to age. It's just, And that's what Jamie Vardy's doing at the moment. And he's absolutely loving life.
They should be going to challenge again. Could they win the FA Cup? They could. They got the squad for it on a one-off game. Yes, they could. Do I think they'll win it? Probably not. Mm. But they can absolutely go and challenge, and maybe they'll even influence who eventually does go and win it, because they'll probably knock out some really big names.
Yeah. A couple more games to whiz through. We've got Palace 0, Fulham 2. Now, Fulham, this is a team that don't want any more. What did I say? Palace.
You said Palace. You've got your obsession with Palace.
Got Palace on the brain.
This is QPR 0.
QPR 0, Fulham 2. There you go. It's even written in front of me as well. So it's not like I can't. I've winged the show for years. I actually can't read. But who can read is Bobby, and that is Bobby De Cordova Reed. He scored along with Cabano in the latter stages of the first half of extra time, because this game was 0-0 after 90 minutes. And this is, it's nice that Fulham have gone on and won the game, but this is a distraction for them now.
Yeah, it is. They need to try and survive the Premier League. Will they use the FA Cup, though, to try and pick up a bit of confidence and a bit of form so that they can take that into a league? Maybe that's a springboard. Maybe that's the idea that they're trying to go and do. But they got to concentrate on trying to stay in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's too much money in the Premier. As soon as you drop out of it, yes, you got some parachute payments, but it's not the same. The money isn't there. The sponsorship isn't there. It is not the same. You will lose a lot of money if you drop out. Mm-hmm.
QPR, they've only won once in the third round in 32 years, I believe.
Wow, that's a hell of a stat.
Yeah, so that is, it's not much of a shock, really, that they didn't go through.
You say that, though, but QPR were a Premier League side for a while.
Yeah, and they come in at the third round and dip out straight away. You know, back in the day, like Andy Impey and
Les Ferdinand.
Yeah. Ray Wilkins, rest in peace.
I'm all out of QPR.
Yeah, I can't think of any else.
That I'm all out of
Daniel Dicchio.
Dicchio.
Yeah, he's at QPR.
Was he?
Yeah, man, I've got my sticker album and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Ooh,
anyway, that's QPR done. It's and that's why they haven't made it past the third round in that many years, because we can't even name half the teams in 30 years. We've come up with four players.
Exactly. Excuse the background, but I needed to switch because it's time for this. I haven't got the drop in that brand. So yeah, it's the weekly look at the What Are Everton, and they did win, but what are they? Because yeah, exactly. They won 2-1 at home to Championship Rotherham. Cenk Tosun, he scored, which is shocking. We all know this. On a Sunday, equalised and took the game to extra time. But Decore, he was instrumental in the second half in particular, and throughout extra time, he looked really good. It was James Rodriguez with the through ball, which took the lead there. However, Everton should have won the game beforehand, and this is where VAR confuses everyone, because Cenk Tosun scored a perfectly good goal. There was a free kick from the left-hand side that was curled in towards the near post where Cenk Tosun is, and he has scored. Yet the goal was ruled out for offside because Yerry Mina was in an offside position at the far post. Why?
Mate, I don't get it. But, I mean, you're an ex-football referee, and even you're struggling to understand it. I'm just a little old fan. I don't get it, mate. The rules, and we keep saying, you know, we blame VAR. This isn't VAR. This is the rules and the interpretation of the rules,
which have
don't
been
work with the technology.
Yeah, but like, he's not involved in the play.
Yeah, but beforehand, you had the ability for a referee and a linesman to use their best judgment.
Yeah, but even with VAR,
takes that away.
Yeah, but even with VAR, I don't understand how VAR could come in and disallow the goal, because he's not gone in the line of the in the line of the goalkeeper. He's not drawn a defender out of position. The ball is not actually involved in play, because he is in the far is at the far post when this ball's whipped in. The ball gets whipped in at the near post, and Cenk Tosun finishes it, and he is onside. So for me, it's a farcical decision.
I just think it goes back to that whole thing. We have got rules that have been put into place for, you know, 100 years, and we need to review those rules. And actually, the whole way that we create these rules and adjust these rules have to change. It shouldn't just be the panel that is in place now coming up the rules. It should be ex-players. It should be current players. It should be ex-referees, and it should be current referees. It should be people that are involved in the game and how the game is played, going through all these weird scenarios like we're seeing at the minute, and going, this is how we're going to go and adjust it. This is how we're going to simplify it. Yes, I can understand that as a player. Yes, I can understand that as a referee. This is enforceable and will work. Right now, it's not. Mm. But we've got the wrong people in making up the rules.
Yeah. Mm. Can't really disagree with this one at all. Everton are coming in a bit like a Serie A team, very structured, very well organised, very dull without James and Alan. And it's very true. And this is like, I don't know how I've seen you pop up quite a bit, which is great. And I've seen you comment on our watch alongs that we do. I'm not quite sure whether you get involved with our review shows, but for the last year and a half of review shows, we have had a section called What Are Everton, and in particular over the last 6 or 7 months, we've actually made an actual proper section of What Are Everton, and it's for reasons like that, because you just don't know what Everton are going to show up. You know, Everton won 4 games on the spin, and then they turn up at West Ham, who have been having a bit of a dip in form, and lose 1-0. This is classic Everton. This is what Everton do. So Everton, you know, they could have gone on and won the game in normal time. They get pegged back. I'm expecting Everton to lose that game now, because that's what Everton do. That's the way they are. So what are your what are your current predictions for the Carabao Cup predictions? So yeah, so that's Man United versus Man City versus
Man City
Spurs.
Versus Spurs.
We'll have a little run over that after these. We'll have a quick look at that, if that's okay with you. So let's move away from Everton, because we don't know what they are. And I'm going to talk about my boys for a second. And that is Arsenal. Arsenal 2, Newcastle 0. Emil Smith Rowe and Aubameyang. Aubameyang scoring in normal play. What I'm really enjoying about Arsenal at the moment is that they've been scoring goals from open play, which is very nice.
I'm just going to nod and agree with you. Do you know what? The difference, we said it during the watch along, the difference for me with Arsenal has been Emil Rowe Smith.
Smith Rowe has been is someone that I've called out a couple of years ago when I started watching him in pre-season, playing with the first team and looking like he should be there rather than looking like a bunny in headlights. And I just thought that he had that maturity from when he was 17, 18. But you can't always pin your hopes on the 17, 18-year-old. You need to give him time to mature and stuff like that. He'd been out on loan. He went out to Germany for a piece. He come back. He went to Huddersfield for a piece. He's come back. He's worked hard. And, you know, players who are playing in his position, who are much more senior than him, are not stepping up to the plate at Arsenal. Yep. So he has got his chance. But one player who I've given a lot of rope to, but I think I've only defended him for so long because he's a Haylen boy, is Joe Willock. I don't think he has stepped up. I don't think he has the caliber to be a Arsenal player in the future. And it hurts me to say it because there's been so many games where I've been like, oh, just get Joe Willock to play, get Joe Willock to play. It's all good looking good in the Europa League game, but you've got to also look good in the Premier League. And he just doesn't look right.
No, look, some players won't come through. I've not watched Joe Willock a lot, you know, and you're going to see him far more than what I will because that's your club, it's your fan base. But what can you do? It's, you can't force it, and how much of it is him and how much of it is the way Arteta wants to play?
Well, that's the thing, like, because he's had game time under other managers. Yeah, he's still young though, isn't he? But I don't know. It's just when you see your kids coming through, you want them to do well. We alluded to this earlier on when we were doing the watch along, that when you are looking at, like, because we mentioned about Tanganga, and, you know, for you more than I want them to do well because I just love watching young talent come through. As a football fan, obviously I want him to do terribly because he's at Tottenham. But if I'm being 100% honest, I was desperate to see Tanganga start that game today. Yes, it was against Marine. I want to see him start a hell of a lot more in the Premier League. I want him to be a guaranteed starter in every cup game because he has got the ability to step up. He's a brilliant, brilliant defender. But we're not going to see the best of him because Mourinho don't want to play him. Whereas we've got it the other way around, whereas Willock is getting more game time and he's looking worse and worse as the games go on. His touch don't look right. He looks... This is an Arsenal team that have now had 4 wins on the spin. So we've actually got a bit of confidence about us now. But he looks like we were at the end of that 7-8 game run without a win. That's how we were playing.
Left behind?
Yeah. He's not able to step up. And if he was to leave Arsenal, I can't see him going to a major club. I could
see him going to another Premier League club.
If he goes to another Premier League club, he will go to, at best, a Palace.
Wow.
At best.
Do you think he's another Saha that needs to be that big fish in a smaller pond in order to feel that confidence?
Yeah, but if he is going to be a big fish, he's going to be a big fish at a Championship club. He's not going to be able to big fish. There is no club in the Premier League where he will be able to go in and improve or make them look better than they actually are. Not one. So, yeah, I'm really, really disappointed in him. Glad to see Smith Rowe's card was put back to a yellow. It was never a red. I agree. When I saw it in real time, I was like, yeah, I thought he won the ball originally when I first saw it in real time. I was like, right, okay, come on, let's push on. And he's given a free kick. I'm like, oh, yeah, his foot's a bit high. And then he pulls the red card out and I was like, nah. Because even like, I don't think there was any contact whatsoever. So I think a yellow card does suffice. But if there was contact, There was no way that he would have fallen over in that way.
Agreed.
And his leg was
the right decision. 100% right decision.
Hey, so yeah, VAR coming in good at times, but that's into the fourth round Arsenal. And then Manchester United, and we've also got Chelsea to talk about. Last two games, Chelsea, they won 4-0 at home to Morecambe. The Chelsea fanboys are all going to be buzzing because Timo Werner and Kai Havertz scored. This is Morecambe.
Yeah.
Morecambe.
It's a big gap. And, you know, I think probably Havertz and Werner probably cost more than the entire Morecambe squad.
Of course they did.
And probably the stadium and all.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone who lives on the same street as Morecambe's ground, you know, times 50. So, you know, Morecambe, they're doing all right. They're seventh in League Two. And we had a look at League Two earlier on when we looked at the Crawley situation of the, you know, how tight it is in League Two. They just need to worry about getting promoted and doing their thing, because they were never expected to go to Stamford Bridge and get a result. Simple as that. And the fact that they, you know, they only reduced it to 4-0, and the fact that Chelsea put out a very, very strong team again, you know, yes, they had Kepa in goal, but it was still a strong team that they put out. They were never going to be in doubt, really. So, That's it for Chelsea. There's no point going into much detail on that. And then the last game, this was probably the worst game of the weekend. That was Man United. They picked up a 1-0 win to Watford. But I do love the fact that Scott McTominay was captain in the side in the first half until Maguire came on. And he scored the opening goal. And that goal meant everything to him, because he just scored at home at Old Trafford with the captain's armband. He is Mr. Man United. Yep. And I think he is a future captain in the making.
I'd agree with you. 100% I'd agree with you. I think it was... is he a good player? No, he is a good player. I am going to say.
He's a good player. He's a bloody good player. That's what he is.
I think he needs better around him to really bring the best out of him and to take that next step. He needs better around him. That's not to say the likes of... You know, you've got Paul Pogba down at the minute, who technically is very good, but he's not got the work rate. And I think he needs someone that's got a bit more kind of desire, a bit more hunger, a bit more work around them so that he can bounce off him and take himself to the next level. But he's a good player.
Yeah, indeed. And the FA Cup draw will be tomorrow. If you're listening to this, it will be today because by the time it gets out, you normally listen to it on a Monday. So that's what will be happening with that. Just a couple of questions before we all run away and get on with the rest of our evenings. So I know, we've both got kids and they're both desperate for our attention.
They are.
So,
you can hear them in the background going, come on, Daddy.
You're like, piss off. So the predictions, Man City or Tottenham, heart and head.
Oh. Heart goes obviously Spurs.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm gonna go for the fact that Mourinho's got a good record against Pep. He's got a decent record against City, and actually he's got a great record in terms of finals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go Mourinho sits, plays counter-attacking football, and Spurs win.
This is also Pep Guardiola's tournament as well. And
I know.
Mourinho and Pep have won the tournament for the last 7 years straight.
Yep.
No, but so
I think Mourinho will find a way. I don't ask me how I can explain any of that, because I can't. Player for player, with the exception probably of Son and Kane, City are better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Son and Kane could lift out of Spurs and go straight into that City lineup and make that team better. However, with the rest of the team, City are better, man for man across the park.
Mm.
But I just think there's something at the minute that's making me go, I can see Mourinho just finding another way. This is Mourinho at his best, when he's the chips are down and he's the alleged underdog and everyone's written him off. That brings the best out of Mourinho.
Mm.
And I think he'll get it. He'll get the job done. I don't think he'll be a big scoreline. It's not going to be like, you know, 3-0s, 3-1s. It's going to be nothing like that. It's probably going to be a 1-0, maybe a 2-1. It's going to be close.
We will see. I think City defensively have improved so much this season in comparison to others. Instead of outscoring teams, they're outbraining them, so to speak. Yep. So I think that City will win, and I think once again, I think it will be tight. It will be like a 1-0 or a 2-0. I do think it will be 2-0 whoever wins the game, though. I don't see both teams scoring in that game. Just on that Joe Willock situation, Joe Willock needs a 3-year loan, 2 years at Eredivisie side, sort of level, learning how to work on a decision making, positional play, etc., and a year of Bundesliga to perform, improve his technical ability at the ball. He is still young, so he's still got time. I don't think he's going to make it, even if he does that. I hate saying that about the Haaland boys, but I just don't see it, unfortunately. But it is what it is. But that brings us to the end of the third round review by Gav Merck and Stephen Burke for Two Up Top Football. You can follow us on all social media platforms at Two Up Top Football on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also listen to us as well via Spotify, Apple Music. We're not quite at the level where you can say, "Hey Alexa, play Two Up Top Football." Alexa, stop. We're not quite there yet, but one day we will be, and that will only be able to happen with your continued support. So thank you, everybody, who contributed to the review show that we've just done here, and also to the watch-along that we did prior to this as well. But for myself and Stephen Buck, thank you, and good night.